Let's pray. Father, you're here. Man, just want to think about that for a little bit. You're here. The author of the universe. You are here. Thank you so much for that, Father. Thank you, God, that you love us so much. You pursue us constantly, an endless pursuit, and you're here with us. You gave us the opportunity, Father, to know more about you, fall in love with you that much more, fall in love with each other that much more. Thank you for that, God. Soften up our hearts so we can understand the gospel. We can't understand anything without you. We can't do anything without you, God. Soften up our hearts, God. And I pray it all of the time that we will understand your word and apply your word and reteach your word, God. We thank you. We pray we will die to ourselves. It's not about our agenda. It's not about ourselves. It's all about you. We pray, God, we would preach nothing except Christ and him crucified, and we will love you, love others, and love ourselves, Father. We thank you, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, everybody said, amen. Last week started a sermon series called House Hunters. House Hunters, be the church you want to see. Be the church you want to see, or be the church you're looking for. The church is not a building, but a church is a group of believers. And we desire a church that's powerful. If anybody, we're looking for a church, we're looking for a church that's powerful. And we focused on the word power a little bit. Power. And then you saw Mike come, and I still have no idea. I mean, Mike, how much you weigh, Mike? About 120, and that's soaking wet in a fireman's outfit, holding a 100-pound weight, you're 120. And my man just brought 500 pounds and ripped lights. It was awesome, awesome visual. But Mike showed us his strength. He showed us his power. He showed us. He demonstrated his power. His power was a demonstration. Power, strength, you know, times speed. And in Acts 1, it says, like, you will receive power. And then when you receive the power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Like, and then, you know, they were just looking, and after Jesus ascended, they were like, whoa, that was awesome. And then two men in robes, like, what are you doing just looking? Like, God is going to come back to get you. We got to get moving. We got to get scooting. Like, and so we talked about last week that our power needs to be in motion. God gives us a power, so let's go. And so check this out. So I was just debriefing my sermon and going to the next one. I kind of wanted to move forward, but for some reason, God just had me stuck on the word power. Power. Couldn't shake it. So I decided to do a word study on power, and I'm like, oh, okay, God. That's why you wanted me to do it. That's why you didn't want me to shake it. So I'm going to share with you all today. So the Greek word for power used in Acts chapter 1 is the word dunamis. Everybody say dunamis. Dunamis. So this word dunamis, it means, check this out, marvelous power or marvelous works. Marvelous power or marvelous works. So let's insert that into the scripture. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive marvelous power, and you will do marvelous works when and only when God himself, the Holy Spirit, has come upon you. And after you receive that marvelous power, you know, to do marvelous works, then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now check this out. This is what I found even cooler than that. We get the word, the English word, dynamic, from the word dunamis. But this was even cooler than that. We get the word, y'all ready for this? We get the word dynamite from the word dunamis. Dynamite. TNT, dynamite. Surprised a black dude know that song.
Me too. You know,
you get the word dynamite. Dynamite goes boom. So now let's insert that in this passage. You got your Bibles, y'all, turn with me. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive dynamite. If there's ever a Richards translation in the Bible, I'm going to use the word dynamite in that. You will receive dynamite when the Holy Spirit's upon you. And because of that dynamite, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, into the ends of the earth. Y'all, you saints, the Holy Spirit's inside of us. And you have the dynamite. You have miraculous power. And you have the ability to do miraculous works. Jesus told them, hey, you're going to have this miraculous power, miraculous works in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part, in the ends of the earth. Then check this out. And then Acts chapter 2, that dynamite came. Day of Pentecost came, Holy Spirit came through them, a bunch of crazy stuff was happening, and then they used that power, that dynamite that's inside of them, and exploded the gospel on the earth. No pun intended. Hey, the gospel exploded. We see that the apostles, right after that, the apostles in Acts chapter 2 just began to proclaiming the gospel. That's all they did. It wasn't this huge event or anything. All they did was preach about Christ and him crucified to the masses. They found it out where the masses were, used the power, the dynamite that was inside of them, brought that dynamite into that area, and things went boom. Preach about Christ and him crucified. And then you see in Acts chapter 2, people, after hearing it, they said, what do we need to do? What do we need to do? And they told them, repent from your sins. And check this out. In verse 41, it says, after that, 3,000 souls were saved. 3,000. That's big. 3,000. Just like that. Dynamite goes boom. And check this out. And this is what I find really beautiful. At the very last sentence in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, the very last sentence, it said this. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Day by day. And he used ordinary men and women who use supernatural power. Day by day, I don't know what I would do with myself if every day I saw somebody getting saved. Can you imagine? Can you imagine this? Let's say we open up the building from MBF building every day, Monday through Sunday, and has some sort of gathering. And every day we gathered, somebody was saved. Every day. You imagine how beautiful that is? And not only did they get saved, we're like, okay, all right, now you need to learn the mission and vision. And so we need to train you up. We need to get you discipled. Let's go through growth track. And we're taking them through growth track. We're like, all right, now it's time for you to serve. And then you're serving. They're like, okay, now it's time to get you in the life group. And you're getting them in the life group, you know. And they're using their gifts and their talents that's given by God to go advance the kingdom of God. Imagine how many people will be here in here today if every single day somebody got saved. Y'all, by the way, this power doesn't just get stale. It doesn't have the expiration date on this power. The same power that was inside of these men and women are the same power that we have right now, which means that day by day in our own community, this was in Jerusalem, their own community, in our own community, people can get saved. Do you believe that, church? Like, check this out. I believe the stage is not going to fall through whenever I walk on it. So you know what I'm doing? Walking on it. If you actually believe this, then that means we need to walk. We need to do something. And that's what this message is about. What got me so excited, I was reading Acts. And God began to break my heart. He goes, Richard, this can actually happen now, right now, right now. And I began to cry and weep and wrestle with God. God, are you serious? Are you sure? I am sure that this can happen. And y'all, and I'm not talking about just it can happen with just the church, like entirely. I'm talking about the local church. And let's make it more specific. I'm talking about New Beginnings Fellowship. I'm talking about you. God can use you to make sure this happens right now in our very own community. And that's why I'm so excited today. Are you? And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And those who were being saved, men and women, they became rooted. They were part of the local church, and they did damage for the kingdom. Damage for the kingdom. Good things grow. God saw it, and God smiled, and God was so happy. And God goes, okay, now that's the church I'm talking about. Now I'm going to add to their number, and he did. So what did they do to make God so happy that they added to their number? What did they do? Because we need to find out what and do the same, right? So let's read. This is real. Like, this is real. I taste it. It's real. And we're right there. We just got to make the step forward. That's all we got to do to make sure this happens. It's we're on the brink of it. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. It says this. This is what the disciples did. This is what the people did to make this church boom like this. And they devoted, check this out, put a pin in that word. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. They devoted themselves. Now, check out the word devoted. Everybody say devoted. When you are devoted, you persevere in despite difficulty. Whenever you're devoted to something, despite difficulty, you persevere and you remain, you stay right there. Now, let's talk about the difficulty for us. You know, whenever we get kids, the more kids we have, the more difficult it is. Kids, and they do a bunch of stuff, and it's tough getting them ready, and you got to move and do all this stuff, and your kids make your house messy, and your life's crazy, you know, and so it's difficult to be devoted to the church whenever we have kids. It's difficult because our jobs, you know, our job stresses us out, but whenever it comes to Sunday or Wednesday, this is time for me to sit down and relax, and not just that, the reason why I can't be in a small group is because, you know, my job is so crazy. You name whatever that may be. Name whatever difficulty. Oh, I can't be devoted, you know, to the local church in this, you know, moment because I don't necessarily vibe with or get along with that other person over there. It's you can insert whatever, you know, variable it is to make life more difficult. It's going to be difficult. But despite the difficulty, they devoted themselves to the local church. Four things. To the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and of prayer. They persevered and remained in that. And because they did that, because of their doing that, this is what happened. Verse 43. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Verse 44. And all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. Whew. God said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and where else? Samaria. Uh-oh. You couldn't get more different than Jews and the Samaritans. They hated each other. Hated each other. But the gospel reached them, and they found that common denominator. They were like, forget that. It's about Christ and him crucified. That's what they had in common. They knew the mission and the vision of God and what they were supposed to do in response to that. And the same power that I have is the same power that they have, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. So we need to be unified in that, and boom, dynamite. Boom with the dynamite. They hated each other, but what brought them together was the gospel. And they were like, man, the gospel is so grand, nothing else matters. Imagine if our world looked like that. Imagine if what MBF looked like, if we just had that, you know. Boom, goes the dynamite, church. Had all things in common. Verse 45, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing all the proceeds to all as any had need. Wow. You mean to tell me that these saints sold their possessions and they just gave it? And they're like, okay, apostles, okay, leaders, distribute it to whoever is in need. Yes, that happened. That is radical. If we want to experience a church like in Acts chapter 2, then we have to do the same. We must do the same. It's not about our possessions. It's not about our stuff. It's about meeting the needs of our brothers and sisters. Meeting the physical needs of our brothers and sisters, specifically. Yes, the emotional needs, spiritual needs, absolutely. Physical needs. We are responsible for doing that. We are. And when they did this, what happened in verse 46? And day by day, they attended the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all of the people. And when they did all of that, then it says in the end of verse 47, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. You see that, church? These early saints saw many signs and many wonders. Don't y'all want to see that? Don't you want to see signs and wonders? I do. God just gave me a reminder through a little baby named Hadassah. So Chantel and Colton, they had their baby, and so Hadassah, she had a clogged tear duct, which required surgery. She had to go to the hospital to get that taken care of. So they went to the hospital and they just checked everything out again. And they're like, well, this is weird. It's healed up. She doesn't have to have surgery. And it was really easy for me to think of like, oh, yeah, you know, like the doctor just made a mistake. No. That's a sign and that's a wonder. And God showed it to us. And God goes, there's more where that come from, bud. You think God just pressed the pause button of all of these miraculous signs and wonders that we read in the scriptures and he just stops? No. It delights God to do that, because whenever we see God doing all of those amazing things, what do? We boast in the greatness of our God, and that's why we put here in the first place. So whenever we experience these signs and wonders, we boast about how great God is. And the outside world hears that. Who are you boasting about? And you're like, man, let me tell you about him. And you tell them about him. And then the Holy Spirit is miles ahead of you anyway, soften up their hearts so they can be believers as well, so they can be part of the local church and do the exact same thing you did. I want to see some signs and wonders. Not because I want to see a magic show, because I want people to get saved. A magic show would be cool, though. What else did they do? They sold their possessions and belongings and evenly divided it and met their needs of their community. We've had to say no to people who ask for things in this church because we don't have it. That breaks my heart. And it should break yours. It's our responsibility to meet those needs. It's our responsibility. Ours. The early church, they knew that and they saw that. And it broke their heart that their brothers who have the same dynamite inside of them, the same father, they got the same daddy, part of the same family. And it broke their heart that they were in need. And they're like, you know what? I have more here. This is little. And then somebody else, well, I have a little. And somebody else, well, I have a little. Let me tell y'all something about the bunch of littles. It makes a lot. And so then that lot was given. And so that person was without need. They did that. Oh, they did that. And because of that, God added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. They were selfless, and they loved each other. The world would know you're my disciples by what? The love. And they showed their love. They demonstrated their love by giving, specifically giving. Does your giving reflect that? Does your giving reflect that, men and women? Theirs did. And what did they do? They broke bread in their homes with joy and generous hearts. And God loved it, so he grew it. God loved it, so he grew it. I want God to look at MBF and go, man, I love that. Let's grow that puppy. Let's show the rest of the world how to do it, how to be the church. MBF will be that church. Will. I can't speak for any other churches. I'm a part of this one. I believe other churches are going to do it, but hey, y'all got it. I'm the pastor of this church. This church, it will happen. But we have to demonstrate our power, men and women. Church, if you want to see godly signs and wonders, if you want to constantly come across people with generous hearts and joyful hearts, then we have to do this. We must devote ourselves to the local church. Must devote ourselves to the local church. Be devoted. Despite difficulty, we're here. If it was a monsoon outside, if it rained hard, it would be 100 less people here. 150, maybe. That's just fact. I'm not trying to condemn anything. I'm not trying to condemn nobody here. You know, that's just fact. Let's just be honest with ourselves. Inclement weather, you think everybody's going to be like, it's beautiful outside right now. I love the rain. Let me pile in and let's come to church. You think this happens? Nah. In the summers, our numbers drastically drop. And that's churches all across the world. Why? Oh, yeah, you know, we're not a part of the normal routine. You got to be a baller to do a 3-month vacation. Pretty much ain't nobody in here doing that. Let's just be honest, right? 3-month vacation sound awesome, but ain't nobody in here doing it. So how come we ain't showing up? Get mad at God, not me. Send him an email. But y'all, are y'all smelling when I'm stepping in, though? Despite difficulty, despite inclement weather, despite a hard sermon to listen to, despite somebody in your small group made you mad, despite whatever, you are persevering in and you're there. And if we want to see, if we want to be the church that God adds to our number daily, those who are being saved, advancing the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of New Beginnings Fellowship, advancing the kingdom of God, then we must devote ourselves to the local church. Now hear me. Devoting yourselves to the local church, now that's tricky. That sounds pretty. But here's the deal. This church is four walls. I'm sorry. This building is four walls. Like, we make up the church. We're the church. So if you're devoting yourselves to the local church, that means you're devoting yourselves to people. You're devoting yourselves to one another. That's tough. Now, that's hard. That's a tough pill to swallow. Why? Because imperfect people do imperfect things. People tick you off. People hurt you. People fail you. People make you frustrated. And it's hard to devote yourselves to people who let you down. And so what do then? We disengage from people. And that makes sense. I'm guilty of that. We disengage with people because people get on our last reserved nerves. You know, it's one thing getting on your nerves, but you got that one reserve. You're like, all right, I got this one reserve nerve because if somebody get on this one, then I'm going to go postal on somebody, you know? And they get on that one. It's like they find a way to get on your nerves. We all experience that. We all experience it and we all have done it. So it's really easy to distance ourselves from people. But let me tell you this, men and women, even though it feels good and even though it kind of logically makes sense, whenever you distance yourselves from people, you are cutting off the fuse that lights that dynamite that's inside of you. The people light the fuse that makes the dynamite go boom. The people. How do I mean that specifically? Oh, I got some scriptures for you. Y'all, turn to Hebrews 10, verses 25 through 24. You ain't got your Bible. We got it up on the screen. I encourage you to bring your Bible. It's really cool whenever you just, and there's a bunch of science that go behind that, but I ain't no scientist. So, just, yeah. Hebrews 10, verses 24 through 25. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Check this out. What are you doing? You're stirring up somebody to do what? You're stirring up somebody to do what God wants you to do. You're stirring up each other to love and to perform godly good works. That's what you're doing. And check out 25. Uh-oh. Not neglecting to meet together. As is the habit of some. But you're encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. You're not neglecting to meet with one another. Not neglecting. That's big and that's tough. Y'all, this goes well beyond just coming on Wednesdays and coming on Sundays. Well beyond it. Don't get me wrong. If you're not doing that consistently, it's a good start. But a lot of us, we've been coming to Wednesdays and Sundays, and we think that, oh, yeah, we're engaged and we're devoted. No, no, no. We just show up. You know, but like you're not neglecting to meet with, again, the church is not a building. You know, the church is the people. So we're not neglecting to meet with each other throughout the entire week. Sunday is awesome because nobody has a gathering like this, you know, throughout the week. So it's important for us to come on Sundays, and it's important to come on Wednesdays because that's where all the saints get together. And it's a beautiful thing to get on the same page, to discuss these things and to see each other, to exhort one another, you know. But y'all, like, it's throughout the week is where the magic happens. You're not neglecting to meet with one another, but you're stirring them up. To do what? To love one another. To love God. To serve God. To perform good works. You light their fuses that way. Then boom goes the dynamite. We need community. We need community. We need community more than the church actually thinks, than the average Christian believes. We need it. Why? Let me just give you one verse, just one. One passage. Hebrews 3, verse 12 through 14 says this. Take care, brothers, lest there be any, check this out, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Verse 13, but exhort means to strongly encourage. Exhort one another every day. I love how they say this. As long as it is called today. Y'all know how long today is going to be called today? Until today is tomorrow. And then the tomorrow will be today. That means today always happens. Always happens. So as long as today is called today, which always happens, then that means that we should do what? Exhort one another every day, all of the time. And we should take care. It says take care, brothers and sisters. Take care of one another all the time. Exhort one another all of the time that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to, oh, this is beautiful. And we're going to break this down in a second. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Let me tell y'all this. The enemy takes no days off. No days. He don't take days off. For what? His goal is to end you. in your ministry, in your influence. That's his goal. And he's relentless at doing so. Relentless. Why does a word tell us to take care and to exhort each other every day? Because we need it every single day. And whenever you distance yourself from somebody, you know where you're allowing to happen? It says it right here. All right. And so, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. This is, you know, like we all struggle with from time insecurity, doubt, worry. Whenever you're worried about something, whenever you're doubting, who you think you're doubting? You're doubting that God actually has the ability, the power to move in your situation. And that's evil. We don't like to think it like that. Oh, I'm just worried. That's evil. And I experienced that. So why is it important to come here? Why is it important to be in small groups? Why is it important to show up on Wednesday? Why is it important to break bread in each other's homes? Why is it important to meet every day? Because that fuse that makes the dynamite goes boom, you are lighting that fuse in their lives. Somebody's struggling with worry and doubt. You're like, no, wait, hold on. You know who you are. You know whose you are. You know what God done for us. Come on, snap out of it. That's beautiful. God can use this. God uses us, to get in the middle of that situation. For them to have an evil, unbelieving heart, and God will use us as vehicles to disrupt in that whole path. Your fuse is out, bruh. Your fuse is out, sis. Let me tell you who you are. You know what? I was watching a thank you, Jesus. I'm excited about this, y'all, because I believe it. I promise you, I'm not going to teach a single thing that I don't believe. I promise you. Some scriptures I am wrestling with, and it's my goal to preach it, but I ain't there yet. And I'm like, God, help me in my unbelief. And then once I get there, then I'm going to preach it. Until then, me and God wrestling. I believe this. And I believe we can experience it right now. But we have to do something, church. The end of verse 14, it says, for we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. I love that word, share. That word, share, goes deeper. Right, there's a Greek word for that, and that Greek word is koinonia. Y'all say koinonia. And koinonia, it means being in agreement with one another. Now check this out. Being united in purpose and serving alongside each other. Let me repeat that. Koinonia. Being in agreement with one another. Being united in purpose. Being united in purpose and serving alongside each other. Here's a deal about dynamite. I was watching a video. It was a large, large building in China that they want to demolish, get rid of all of the rubble, and rebuild the building. And it showed the construction workers packing the dynamite at the bottom of the building. So what they do, they drill all of these holes, you know, all around the building. And you just saw them packing one piece after another piece after another piece after another piece after another piece. So they were packing all of this dynamite. And then they lit that fuse. And then you know what happens? They were all together in sync. Boom went the dynamite. And then the building came crashing down. That dynamite, so powerful. But one wouldn't go take down that building. It wasn't. He packed a bunch of them in there. Y'all, we want to break all of these strongholds we want to see in our community and our family and our whatever, then we need to be together. When we're together, having that same koinonia, that same purpose, then those buildings will fall. We have to be together, men and women. This passage I'm about to share with you all is what made me lose it. I've been praying for the longest, like, God, give me a specific mission and a vision for MBF. As the pastor, like, what's my go-to? What is it? What do I want to see? And he gave it to me. Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 37. This is the type of koinonia that I want to see in MBF. Verse 32. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said, now check this out, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. Like, wow. Like, wait a minute. They didn't say, this is my money, this is my time, this is my talents, this is my car, this is my house. Nobody said that. Nobody. It's not about them, it's about us. It's about we. You know how beautiful that is, church? They were of one heart. They were like, you're my brother and sister. Like, you're without a home? This is our home, come on, it's ours. Radical, right? And that seems like, oh wait, that's the extra Christian stuff, right? I only, you know, that's some level, like real, like way down the line Christian stuff. Like, these were brand new Christians who did these things. Brand new. Fresh off the line. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching because they ain't know nothing. And they did these things. Verse 33. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony, with great dunamis, with great dynamite. The apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. Verse 34, and Jesus, this is what I desire. Father, please let this happen here. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of land or houses, sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. And it was laid at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Did you hear that, church? We have to turn people away who ask for money sometimes. I'm done with that. I want to be done with it. And don't you? You believe that we have brothers and sisters that attend MBF that don't have a home to go to? Did you know that? While we sleep comfortably in our beds, in our warm heat or good air conditioning, in a hot meal, not everybody that's just part of our church have that. Who do you think is responsibility to make sure that that doesn't be? It's ours. Not just the pastor. Not just, you know, everybody. It's all of our responsibility. And our giving needs to reflect that. They did this. Can you imagine? But the people who had not their entire life, not only do they have God, they have the kingdom of heaven to look forward to whenever they die, and they have a mission and a vision, they have a purpose, but they have resources too because their family looked out for them. Church, that's you and I. That's a no, that's radical. But okay. Then maybe we need to start living radically. Verse 36, thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostle Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, check this out, he sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Imagine what this world would look like if the entire world just decided to, you know what, we're going to make sure there's no more. You know, there's much, I forget the exact quote and the exact specific, but you can look it up yourselves and get the exact numbers. They said that We have so many resources that every man, woman, and child on this earth, can have an abundance of food, housing, clothing, everything. We have plenty, plenty of it. All the world have to do is change their perspective and meet the needs of the people. That's it. But that's just the world. Let's just talk about here in MBF. I believe we have well than enough. Whoa, a lot of resources right now that we can meet the needs of our people. I have a vision. I have a vision that one day, one of our college graduates, you see these guys right here, eventually, you know, they probably go to college or whatever. I'm praying that, you know, they come back from college and they just, you know, and they just graduated and we're celebrating. We're like, you know what? We got a gift for you. Did you know all of your college tuition is paid for? Can you imagine that? I have a vision that, you know, that a lady comes, she goes, hey, you know, I'm buying this house. I'm struggling. We're like, hey, well, you know, here the funny thing is, your down payment is already taken care of. We got you, girl, just because we want to get you. I want that to happen. I want us to go to these men and women who don't have homes. And they come up here and they're like, man, I'm struggling. Can you just give us some food? We're like, well, I'll give you more than that. Here's adequate housing for you. Here you go. Just because the church is being the church, I want that to happen. And this is the church that will add to our number those who are being saved. So what needs do we have here in the local church, men and women? What needs? When we're devoted to one another, we find out those needs. And we start meeting those needs. That's the importance of community, church. That's the importance of community. Loving God, meeting the needs of the people. Ushers, if you can come up. Please know I'm not trying to guilt you to doing anything. I just want to give you a unique opportunity to respond to the gospel specifically in giving. Really doesn't make sense to give, right? Like, whew, you know, sometimes it doesn't make sense to give. Looked at Heidi and we are pinching pennies. Pinching pennies. And we looked at each other and I'm like, yo, babe, it's time to increase our tithe. And it didn't make any financial sense. And it still doesn't. And I still have no idea how we get by with a bunch of stuff. Still have no idea. But it happens. So I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to put God to the test even more. Increase more. Tithes and offering. I'm not doing, y'all, I'm not pitching this out to advance the kingdom of new beginnings. It's advancing the kingdom of God. And we're looking after our brothers and sisters. Will you, church, live radically? Because whenever you do, signs and wonders are coming. Eating, breaking bread with people with joy, joyful, generous hearts, it's coming. God adding to the number of those who are being saved, it's coming. And it's all on us. Let's be the community. Let's be devoted to MBF. Let's serve our church. Let's serve one another. Let's never neglect to meet with one another. Let's be that church. Let's pray for the offering. Soften up our hearts, Father. Show us what to give. What to give, what to do, Father. Just I pray, God, we would just live radically for you. Oh, I pray, God, that we will light the fuse to that dynamite to make it go boom all across the world. But first, God, let us be faithful to our local church. Soften up our hearts to the gospel. We give to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ushers. Church, again, never neglecting to meet with one another. tonight, perfect opportunity to meet with one another. We're going to provide more opportunities for us to meet together. I talked to somebody earlier this week who they were saying, man, it's hard to plug in. I'm like, get a life group. Perfect opportunity to plug in. Perfect. Church, lost for words. Just know I believe it. It's going to happen of us to have this really crazy impact in our own community, our surrounding communities, and then to the end of the earth. We just have to do something. And what do we have to do? Be devoted to the apostles' teachings and the fellowship and the breaking of bread of prayer. We have to be the church we desire to see. We have to be the community. Look after one another. Let's start that today. Can I get an amen? Amen. For everybody, stand up, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There's anybody that's in here that doesn't know Jesus. And while you don't know Jesus, you desiring to have a family like that, desiring to live on mission, to have a mission and a vision and a purpose. And if you want to submit your life to Christ today, if that's you in here, will you be so bold of slipping up your hand? Anybody like to submit their lives to Jesus today? Amen. All right. Word says that day by day, God added to that number those who were being saved. Somebody today has a desire of being saved. I think that's just a small vision of what can happen within this body. For the person who slipped up their hand, what we're going to do, we're going to hang out. I'll be here after service. And I would love to introduce you to Christ. Amen for that decision. Church, this can happen anywhere. So let's be that church, amen. Get out of here. Go sin no more. See you tonight, 5 to 7, Sycamore Family Ranch. Splendid.